الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، آية 101 في سورة النساء. وعليكم السلام. الله تبارك وتعالى says, and before that we say, أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. وَإِذَا ضَرَبْتُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَلَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاحٌ أَن تَقْصُرُوا مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ إِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَن يَفْتِنَكُمُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِنَّ الْكَافِرِينَ كَانُوا لَكُمْ عَدُوًّا مُبِينًا. And when you travel throughout the land, there is no blame upon you for shortening the prayer, especially if you fear that those who disbelieve may disrupt or attack you. Indeed, the disbelievers are ever to you a clear enemy, even if they claimed otherwise. Even if they claimed otherwise. And if you happen to go to the Facebook page dedicated for da'wah, which I have, nothing private or personal, no pictures, no nothing, just da'wah, the things, the usual things. And there was a poem which I wrote addressing the Muslims, and then there was another one which I wrote addressing the Christians in regards to this Christmas and all this nonsense which they're upon. You know, what is this whole thing? Where did they get that from? Anyways, but it was still, it was on my page. I didn't go to different Christian websites and post it there. If you go, now we deleted them because they're too filthy, but if you go and see the comments which the lovely Christians left us, you will realize how much they hate Islam. It may not appear now, they keep it hidden. But language, ya akhwan, which you will not hear even in the streets, language which if some wicked person was watching a porn movie and then they use this language during the movie, he will say, oh. Okay, even though he's already engaged in filth, that language would be filthier than what he's watching. And these are so-called educated, mature Christians, 40, 50 years old man with a picture of his wife and whatever. And, you know, they come and leave comments that are disgusting. And all I'm saying is, we don't say Merry Christmas, okay? So we don't acknowledge Christmas. So they come and say, Merry Christmas, you low-life bastard. This is the nicest one which I'm able to repeat. Don't ask about the other things. Not one person, no. Hundreds of comments. They bombarded my YouTube channel. Now I have maybe like 50 comments pending, all of them Merry Christmas with a curse at the end. The Facebook, they went to all of the previous posts and they left the same comments. Waikum salam, yaani you, wallahi, even the Muslims that are going, they say, what is this, man? It's like you're just puzzled at how, and this is besides the attack against Islam, belittling the Prophet alayhi salam, cursing him, cursing Islam, cursing Allah, everything. But when you go to the Christian, the hypocrite, he tells you, God loves you. Give the enemy the other cheek. Huh? Turn the other cheek, love your enemies. Where's the love of the enemy? Where's turning the other cheek? And where's the love which you talk about? All this hate, which we can't even speak about. All we did was write a nice poem about our feelings in regards to Christmas. And this is what we got in return. And so they claim that they don't care or they like us. They are liars. Because Allah already told us in the Quran that they are liars. And they are ever enemies to us. Another ayah Allah says, وَلَن تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودَ وَلَا النَّصَارَى حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. Neither the Jews nor the Christians will ever be pleased with you until you follow their religion. Until you say, okay, I'm revert to Christianity, then and only then they will really be pleased with you. Otherwise, they will pretend through their hypocrisy to be pleased, and Allah knows that they're not. So don't believe the hype. And in case they hide or they pretend that they love, believe me, they don't. What, as Allah says, وَمَا تُخْفِي صُدُورُهُمْ أَكْبَرُ. قَدْ بَدَتِ الْبَغْضَاءُ مِنْ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ. Hatred has already appeared on their mouths. And what their hearts conceal is even superior. If you don't believe it, I will share the comments with you and you will see the level of hatred they have for Islam, for the Muslims, for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And no one came close to them, no one attacked them. They came to our page to attack us. These are the so-called civilized, non-barbaric or barbaric Christians. They turn out to be even worse than all of that. Wal-iyadu billah. So, the Shaykh said, in regards to Al-Ayah 101, and Ayah 102, but we will only deal with 101 now. Yeah. هاتان الآيتان أصل في رخصة القصر وصلاة الخوف. These two ayat are foundational in regards to the concession for shortening the salah and the salah of fear. Shortening the salah and the salah of fear. يقول تعالى, Allah says, وَإِذَا ضَرَبْتُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَيْ فِي السَّفَرِ, meaning when you, the way they put it here, when you travel throughout the land. وَظَاهِرُ الْآيَةِ أَنَّهُ يَقْتَدِي التَّرَخُّصْ فِي أَيِّ سَفَرٍ كَانْ. The apparent meaning which we get from the ayah is that one is allowed to shorten the salah irrespective of the kind of travel he's involved in. What do we mean by that? Listen. وَلَوْ كَانَ سَفَرُ مَعْصِيَةً. Even if the travel is that of disobedience. Right now, when people travel, they may either be traveling to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so it is a travel in the obedience of Allah, and there is a travel in the disobedience of Allah. They may be going somewhere that they're not supposed to go. Honeymoon, you know. Honeymoon in Hawaii, with all the naked women on the beach. Yeah, you can do that as a Muslim. You can do that. You know, it's not part of our deen. Besides honeymoon being something that is biblically endorsed, it is from the Christians, and before the Christians it came from other pagan belief. Alaykum salam. Then from paganism it came to Christianity. Of course, Christianity picked up every paganism in the world and they integrated with their religion. Christmas is pagan, and worshiping the Son of God is pagan, and everything that Christianity is upon today is paganism. Paganism in a robe, a Christian a cloak. But otherwise, it's not really anything that has to do with monotheism, as they claim. So honeymoon, for instance, is something that is not from Islam. It's from Christianity, and before that, from paganism. And then it's the idea of going and taking vacation from the deen of Allah for 1 month. Because people go there and they are in an area where vice and sins are prevalent. And I'm sure the husband and wife are not going to be enjoying the good and forbidding the evil. And you can't go to Hawaii and go to the beach side and say, okay, everyone, get dressed. Lady, shame on you. What is this bikini you're wearing? Get back inside. You're going to go there and have a good time. And so you can't go there, Habibi. Okay? No honeymoon. And plus, what is honeymoon? Is there really honey on the moon? I don't know, man. But I don't think so. So as I said at the end of one lecture, you will neither have honey nor will you see the moon. Yeah? You will go and maybe wind up in Jahannam at the end of the day. So this is Safar Masiyah. So the question arises, if you're traveling to disobey Allah, are you allowed to shorten the salah? Or do we say, no, this kind of travel is not legislated, and so the concession which Allah gave, you're not entitled to. You're not deserving of it. Let's see what the ulama say. كما ولو كان سفر معصية كما هو مذهب أبو حنيفة Rahimahullah. The madhab of Imam Abu Hanifa is that even if the travel of one of disobedience, one may shorten the salah. وَقَالَ فَفِي ذَلِكَ الْجُمْهُورِ. He opposed, however, in that the majority of the scholars, the main body of the scholars. وَهُمُ الْأَئِمَّةُ الثَّلَاثَةُ وَغَيْرِهِمْ. And that includes the three other imams and others amongst them. فَلَمْ يُجَوِّزُ تَرْخِيصْ فِي سَفَرِ الْمَعْصِيَةِ. They did not permit that one shortens the salah in a travel of disobedience. That's very important. Very important ruling. So next time someone you know is traveling to go to a concert, you know, like they brought Chris Brown to Dubai. You know Chris Brown? You don't know Chris Brown. I didn't know about him either until I saw the ad on Arab News. And they said Chris Brown rocked the crowd. And I'm like, who's this guy? Looks like a freaking whatever. I go in just to see, of course, who he is. And then he has a YouTube video called Strip or something. and him singing with all these naked women around him dancing. And he's telling him, strip, strip for me and strip for me. And he's just telling everybody to strip for him. That's Chris Brown. They brought him to Dubai. 100,000 people showed up. You know, fascinated with this punk loser who has the nerve to come and sing on stage. And some of them complained. He said, in Australia he was with Raihana, but here he had to come on his own. Still, he rocked the crowd. So that's Chris Brown for you. When someone say, I'm going to Dubai to attend this concert, and you say, okay, you can't shorten the salah. Okay, besides the fact that you're disobeying Allah, you don't have the right to shorten the salah. And you have to make that clear for him, according to the jumhur of the ulama. You're not entitled to this rukhsah because the nature of your travel is something that Islam does not allow. تَخْصِيصًا لِلْآيَةِ بِالْمَعْنَى وَالْمُنَاسَبَةِ. And they did so out of specifying the meaning of the ayah and the occasion or the context. فَإِنَّ الرُّخْصَ سُهُولَةٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِعِبَادِهِ. Why? The logic, the rationale behind it. رُخْصَ, concession, is means of facilitation from Allah for a slave. Allah is facilitating for the slaves. He's saying when you travel because of the hardship, you may shorten the salah. إِذَا سَافَرُوا أَن يَقْصُرُوا وَيَفْطُرُوا. If they're traveling, they're allowed to shorten the salah and break their fast if it is Ramadan. وَالْعَاصِي بِسَفَرِهِ لَا يُنَاسِبُ حَالْهُ التَّخْفِيفِ. The one who is traveling in the state of disobedience is not deserving of that kind of facilitation. So that facilitation is mercy from Allah, and you are not entitled to receive this mercy because the nature of your travel, it goes against the legislation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the jumhur of the ulama, the majority of the scholars. So how many times have we, or you know, people that travel in the state of the women traveling without a mahram, that's a form of disobedience. Tfaddal. Yeah, well, here's the thing. Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, had usul different than the usul of the other ulama. He was known for having a unique usul to him. So much so that his own students wind up going against him in 2/3 of the madhab because of his usul. His usul, even though, يعني, his usul were weak, primarily because he said that the Quran is the thing. Okay, and even if a hadith would come to him that was sahih, but it wasn't in a level of sahha that he was comfortable with, he would set aside the hadith and go by the ayah, because to him the ayah was a marji', the ayah of the Quran was the asl. So either he will, because he was skeptical about the authenticity of narrations, he kind of relied more on the Quran, which will create problems, because we believe that the Sunnah explained the Quran, the Sunnah specified the Quran, and the Sunnah sometimes went against the Quran, but it abrogated aspects of the Quran, or it specified them in ways which you couldn't have understood per the ayah itself. So he was very much into the idea of what the Quran says. So now the ayah is general. The ayah is general that if you're traveling, you may shorten the salah. So to him, this is it. This is it. He may ignore other principles, other usul, other ahadith which negate to him the ayah. So rahimahullah, he was an imam entitled for his ijtihad. But that's why you find that very often the madhab of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah is in opposition with the sunnah. That's why they say the closest of the madhahib to the sunnah is the madhab of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah. Not out of favoritism or trying to be a blind follower of the madhab, because even in the madhab of Imam Ahmad, there are areas where he didn't get it right, but the madhab was the correct position was Shafi'i or Maliki. So you find that the truth is actually spread among the four imams. But the closest to the sunnah is Imam Ahmad. And the furthest from the sunnah was Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, because their usul were different. Imam Abu Ahmad was clear. He said, the sunnah, if the hadith is sahih, khalas, end of story. That wasn't the madhab of Imam Abu Hanifa. Even the hadith is sahih, it wasn't the end of the story. It was the ayah and the Quran that kind of was the determining factor. So, you know, the ulama differed. ورحمهم الله وجزاهم الله خيرا عن الإسلام والمسلمين ولكن السنة أحب إلينا. نعم. وقوله وليس عليكم جناح أن تقصروا من الصلاة. There's no sin on you to shorten the salah. أي لا حرج ولا إثم عليكم في ذلك. There's no, يعني, don't feel any kind of concern that you're doing something wrong. Haraj is when you're kind of concerned. Is this right? Is this wrong? Don't have this feeling. ولا إثم, nor any sin upon you in doing so. ولا ينافي ذلك كون القصر هو الأفضل. This, the fact that I'm saying there's no sin on you to shorten the salah, is not saying that shortening is not better. Actually, shortening the salah is better than completing it. يعني when you're traveling, shortening is better than playing the full salah. Yet Allah said, there's no sin on you to shorten. The Shaykh saying, the fact that Allah used this expression is not discouraging you from doing it. Rather, doing it is better. وَلِأَنَّ النَّفِي الْحَرَجِ إِزَالَةٌ لِبَعْضِ الْوَهِمِ الْوَاقِعِ فِي كَثِيرًا مِنَ النُّفُوسِ كَثِيرًا مِنَ النُّفُوسِ. The reason why Allah used this kind of language, there's no sin on you, just to remove the doubt which often exists among people. Many people. بَلْ وَلَا يُنَافِي الْوُجُوبِ. Rather, it doesn't even negate obligation. كما تقدم ذلك في سورة البقرة. It was preceded in سورة البقرة في قوله إن الصفا والمروة من شعائر الله. Verily the صفا and the مروة are from the rights of Allah. إلى آخر الآية. Until the end of it. وإزالة الوهم فلا جناح علي أن يطوف بهما. He didn't mention it here. So there's no sin on him to do tawaf between them. But can your umrah be complete without tawaf between صفا and مروة?
No.
Can you do umrah? Do tawaf around the Kaaba. Then go cut your hair and go home? You must do sa'i. Yet Allah said, لا جناح عليه أن يطوف بهما. There's no sin on him to do tawaf, to go around them, even though it's an obligation. So we're learning from the Quran that Allah may use this language. There's no sin on you to do this, even though that thing is obligatory. Do you understand what I'm saying? For example, I say to you, let's say we have an agreement. Let's say we do have an agreement about punctuality. That you come on time. And so I can say though still, there's no sin on you if you come on time. Even though I use this language, does that mean that I don't expect you to come on time or that it's up to you to come on time or not? No. Even though it's obligatory to come on time, I can still say there's no sin on you to come on time, you know. You won't be sinful if you came on time. Trying to encourage you to come on time. So this is what we're trying to understand. The Quran uses this kind of language. لا جناح عليه, لا جناح عليه, لا حرج. No sin, no harm. Even though that thing in and of itself may be obligatory. نعم. لأن الصلاة وإزالة الوهم في هذا الموضع ظاهرة. Why would Allah want to remove this kind of doubt which exists among the people? The Shaykh said it's evident here. لأن الصلاة قد تقرر عند المسلمين وجوبها على هذه الصفة التامة. The salah, it has already been established among the Muslims, the obligation of doing the salah in the complete form which we know it. Dhuhr 4 rak'at, Asr 4 rak'at, Maghrib 3 rak'at, Isha 4 rak'at. Khalas, this is already ingrained in our minds. So it is something that is fixed, firmly fixed. وَلَا يُزِيلُ هَذَا عَنْ نُفُوسِ أَكْثَرِهِمْ إِلَّا بِذِكْرِ مَا يُنَفِيهِ. You won't be able to kind of switch to something else until you mention that which negates it. Allah removes that, which is sin. وَيَدُلُّ عَلَى أَفْضَلِيَّةِ الْقَصْرِ عَلَى الْإِتْمَامِ أَمْرًا. What indicates the prevalence of shortening the salah, over completing the salah, are two things. أحدهما, the first one, ملازمة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على القصر في جميع أسفاره. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم being consistent in shortening the salah in all of his travels. All of his travels he shortened the salah. والثاني, the second reason, أن هذا من باب التوسعة والترخيص والرحمة بالعباد. This falls under the concept of vastness, concession, and mercy towards the slave, facilitation towards the slaves. وَاللَّهُ تَعَالَى يُحِبُّ أَن تُؤْتَى رُخَصَهُ كَمَا يَكْرَهُ أَن تُؤْتَى مَعْصِيَتَهُ. And Allah loves it when you take advantage of the concessions which He grants you the same way He hates it when you disobey Him. And this is based on a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, this last expression. That Allah loves it when He gives you rukhsa and you utilize it. The same way He hates it when you disobey. So the rukhsa has been made from Allah as mercy. So Allah showing you mercy, don't say, no thank you, I don't need it. That's the idea, because you do need it. Allah gave it to you, utilize it. Take advantage of it. Enjoy it, because it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَوْلُهُ أَن تَقْصُرُوا مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ وَلَمْ يَقُلْ أَن تَقْصُرُوا الصَّلَاةِ. Now here we get technical. Notice that Allah said, "And taqsuru min as-salah." What is min in the Arabic language? I did not ask for a translation. I asked for harfu jar, صح? What does that mean? What does it do? Harf al-jar. Who knows haruf al-jar? All of them. Oi? What have you guys been learning, man? Who's teaching you Arabic, bro? Give me, don't tell me nine, tell me what they are. They have a rhyme, by the way. If the way you say them kind of is easy. Or at least if you study them from the book Al-Ajrumiyyah. Min ila. Look, memorize it like this. Min ila, an ala. It's easy. Min ila, an ala. Min ila, an ala. Fi. Huh? Fi. Wal kaf. Wal lam. Wal ba. Warubba. وربا ربا 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 تلميذ فاق أستاذه ربا من إلى عن على في واللام والكاف لام كاف باء وربا Hey, where's your grammar? Hold on, guys. We're not going to turn this to a grammar class. You're supposed to get this in your grammar book. This is in your grammar book. Min ila an ala fi lam kaf ba rubba. Min ila an ala fi lam kaf ba rubba. Nine. Huruf al jar. What does harf al jar do to the word that follows it? Uh-huh. Always? It makes it majroor. Now, that majroor may be kasra if the word is normal, if it's a singular, and it is qabil lissarf, because there are words which are mamnu'a min sarf, like the names. Uh-huh. You don't say an Ibrahimi, you have to say an Ibrahima. Like Makkata. I dhahabtu ila Makkata, not ila Makkati. Because the word itself, based on other principles, cannot accept a kasra at the end. And provided it's singular. But if the word is dual or plural, it will take a ya. أَخَذْتُهُ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ مِنَ الرَّجُلَيْنِ. So here it's not even a kasra. It's a ya which replaced the kasra. عَلَى كُلِّ حَالٍ مِنْ then means from or part of. Part of. So that's why Allah says, "Laysa al-aywa min as-salah an taksuru min as-salati min as-salati bi salati because of min." Walam yakul an taksuru as-salata. And Allah did not say, He said that you shorten from the prayer, and He did not say you shorten the prayer. See, this is where the technicality comes. He didn't say you shorten the prayer, taksuru as-salah. Taksuru min as-salah, that you should shorten some or part or from the salah. Ajib. Fi fa'idatan. There are two benefits in the usage of the preposition fi or min here. إحداهما, one of them is إنه لو قال أن تكسر الصلاة لكان القصر غير منضبط بحد من الحدود. Had Allah Azza wa Jal said to shorten the salah, then that means that shortening would not be confined with any kind of confinement or limitation, or it would not be limited with any limitation. فَرُبَّمَا ظَنَّ أَنَّهُ لَوْ قَصَرَ مُعْظَمُ الصَّلَاةِ وَجَعَلَهَا رَكْعَ وَاحِدَ لَأَجَّ. Maybe the reader will think that if he shortens most of the salah and he makes it one rak'ah, it would be sufficient. Maybe he prays Dhuhr one rak'ah, because in his mind, I've done shortening. I've shortened the salah. If he didn't come across the sunnah, a Muslim who became a Muslim somewhere in the country or somewhere away from the sunnah, and he read the Quran, he may understand from the ayah, if it was aqsiru salah, that as long as I shorten the salah, how, it doesn't matter. No, when you say mina salah, then there's a specific way to do it. You cannot turn four rak'at into one rak'at. It has to be two rak'at. Maghrib, for example, doesn't change. Some people want to pray Maghrib one rak'at. Said, "Brother, why? If we did Dhuhr four, now two, three, one. What is this man? You want to come with your own religion? You want to start your own religion or what? Can't be doing this, man. Got to go with the sunnah. Allah yahdik. Then, نعم فاتيانه بقول من الصلاة يدل على ذلك على أن القصر محدود مضبوط مرجوع فيه إلى ما تقرر من فعل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصحابه. So then, when Allah uses this from the salah, this means that this shortening is restricted and it is confined and it must be referred back to what has been established from the actions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba. الثانية, the second benefit, أن من تفيد التبعيد. That's the meaning I gave you earlier. Min, among the meanings it denotes is the part, to part something, part of something, or some of it. يعني أعطني قليلا من الحلوى. Give me some of the cake. Mina meaning give me a part of it. Ba'd. Ba'd. Sah ba'd is like a juz. It's a part of something. ليعلم بذلك أن القصر لبعض الصلوات المفروضات لا جميعا. عجيب. This is to indicate that some of the prayers will be shortened, not all of them. Like Fajr remains the same, Maghrib remains the same. So that word mina salah, now that min also indicates that meaning. Subhanallah. فإن الفجر والمغرب لا يقصران. فجر المغرب will not be shortened. وإنما الذي يقصر الصلاة الرباعية من أربع إلى ركعتين. What is shortened, however, are the quadruple ركعات, which will be shortened into two ركعات. فإذا تقرر أن القصر في السفر رخصة فاعلم أن المفسرين قد اختلفوا في هذا القيد. Now, when we understand and it has been established to us that shortening the salah is a concession, so know that the mufassirin, those who the exegesis of the Quran, those who do the exegesis of the Quran, قَدْ اخْتَلَفُوا فِي هَذَا الْقَيْدِ, they have differed in regards to this condition, which is that shortening the salah in during travel. وهو قوله إن خفتم أن يفتنكم الذين كفروا. If you're afraid that you will be attacked by those who have disbelieved. الذي يدل ظاهره أن القصر لا يجوز إلا بوجود الأمرين كليهما السفر مع الخوف. This ayah indicates that you cannot really shorten the salah unless two conditions are met: travel and fear of the enemy. Travel and fear of the enemy, because the ayah says إن خفتم, huh? إن خفتم أن يفتنكم الذين كفروا. Only if you fear that those who disbelieve will attack you while you're traveling, you may shorten the salah. ويرجع حاصل اختلافهم أنه هل المراد بقول أن تكسر قصر العدد فقط أو قصر العدد والصفة. And the reason why they differ goes back to their differing in regards to the statement أن تكسر, to shorten. Is it the shortening of numbers only, or is it the shortening of numbers and the manner in which you pray? That's the question. You'll see the answer. فالإشكال إنما يكون على الوجه الأول. The issue is in the first facet. وقد أشكل هذا على أمير المؤمنين عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه. The same conflict occurred in the mind of عمر رضي الله عنه. So listen now. حتى سأل عنه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Until he asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. فقال يا رسول الله. He said, oh messenger of Allah, ما لنا نقصر الصلاة نقصر الصلاة وقد أمنا. What is the matter with us? We continue to shorten the salah even though we have found security now. Before, we were afraid of the enemies attacking us. So while we were traveling, we were shorten the salah because we are travelers and the enemy may attack. Then they reach a point where they no longer worried about the enemy, but they continue to shorten the salah. So he said to the Prophet ﷺ, O Messenger of Allah, why do we continue to shorten the salah and we have already reached this state of security? فقال رسول والله يقول, and Allah says, and Umar used the ayah as an evidence, إن خفتم أن يفتنكم الذين كفروا. Allah said, if you fear that those who disbelieved will attack you. So that's the rukhsa. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, the messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام said, صَدَقَةٌ تَصَدَّقَ اللَّهُ بِهَا عَلَيْكُمْ فَاقْبَلُوا صَدَقَتَهُ. This is a sadaqah which Allah has bestowed upon you, so accept His charity. It's a charity from Allah, it's mercy from Allah. He gave to you, just accept it. And the hadith is in Muslim. It's an authentic tradition. So now here, we say, this hadith explains the ayah. Look, the hadith explains the ayah. If you're going to go to an asl where you don't use the hadith to explain an ayah, what will you wind up with? A guidance other than the one of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. You would not have known that part in khiftum ayyaftinakum alladhina kafaru has been, even though it stays as an ayah, the ruling has been abrogated, because the sunnah is saying that even though this is not the case, still it's a sadaqah from Allah. If you don't refer to the sunnah to understand the ayah, then you will say you can only shorten the salah while you're traveling and if you fear the enemy. Otherwise, no shortening of the salah. Now I'm trying to explain why is it important to refer to the sunnah to understand the Quran. Because here the sunnah explained the Quran. It specified the ambiguous. You couldn't have understood that on your own had you not read the hadith of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. أو كما قال وما أور as he said عليه الصلاة والسلام ومعنى هذا فعلى هذا عفوا يكون هذا القيد أتى به نظرا لغالب الحال التي كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصحابه عليها. So then with that understood, then it seems that the reason why Allah used that expression is because it described the general condition in which the Prophet ﷺ was in with the Sahaba. Yani most of the time, they were traveling while fearing the enemy. So it was revealed in this fashion because of the commonality of this thing. This thing being common for the Sahaba and the Prophet ﷺ. فَإِنَّ غَالِبَ أَسْفَارَ أَسْفَارَ جِهَادٍ. Most of his travel, عليه الصلاة والسلام, were travel in which they were engaging and fighting في سبيل الله. Most of the travels. They weren't going on vacations or doing anything of this sort. We know that much. وَفِيهِ فَائِدَةٌ أُخْرَى. There's another benefit. وَهِيَ بَيَانُ الْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَصْلَحَ فِي مَشْرُوعِيَةِ رُخْصَةِ الْقَصْرِ. Oh, another benefit is a clarifying the wisdom and the benefit in the legislation of shortening the salah. فَبَيَّنَ فِي هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ أَنَّهَا مَا يُتَصَوَّرْ مِنَ الْمَشَقَّةِ الْمُنَاسِبَةِ لِلْرُخْصَةِ أَنْهَا مَا يُتَصَوَّرُ مِنَ الْمَشَقَّةِ الْمُنَاسِبَةِ لِلْرُخْصَةِ. So this ayah clarifies what could be imagined of hardship associated with the concession. وَيَجْتِمَاعُ السَّفَرُ وَالْخَوْفُ, which is the combination of having both fear and travel, or travel and fear. وَلَا يَسْتَلْزِمُ ذَلِكَ أَلَّا يَقْصُرَ مَعَ السَّفَرُ وَحْدَهُ الَّذِي هُوَ مَظِنَّةُ الْمَشَقَّةِ. This doesn't mean, however, that he cannot shorten the salah while traveling, because in travel, there's also hardship. So the idea is, travel and fear are a source of hardship, correct? When hardship is there, we have a concession to shorten. Now let us remove the element of fear. Isn't travel still a hardship? So the concession remains. The concession remains. Even nowadays with all the modern advanced, aircraft and what have you, still travel is a hassle. It's a pain. Ask anyone. Even people who enjoy traveling, they enjoy traveling, but they still suffer the hardship associated with it. I mean, you don't want to sleep on a plane, right? And right when you fall asleep, somebody wakes you up, you want orange juice or apple juice. Come on, man. Are you kidding me? I've been trying to sleep for the longest time. I don't want to drink anything. But it's too late. By the time you say all that, you've already been woken up. Say, make an orange juice, please. So you're still going to get the juice. But you, and they don't leave you alone. Please put on buckle your seatbelt. Yeah, Hajj, we're in the middle of the air right now. Should think we're jumping, there's bumps in the khalas, let me sleep. No, somehow they manage not to let you sleep. That's why when you travel, if you do travel, sit in the back seat, all the way back, aisle. Not the aisle, the window seat. The window seat. If you're one who wants to sleep, sit on the, so no one will bother you, wake you up to go to the hammam. And if you're not one who likes to sleep, then you take the aisle seat so you can easily go to the hammam. You won't have to wake anybody up. Furthermore, this is where all the flight attendants sit in the back. They have their back seats. And it's a very practical location for da'wah. You give them da'wah. Most of them are Christians. Even on Saudi Airlines, by the way. Many of them are from the Philippines, from India, different countries, and they're not Muslims. So this is a very ideal location for da'wah. Of course, you have to be nice. Don't flirt with them. But you have to show them that you're a cool person, even though you're practicing. Because they seem mutawwi', they worry. They worry what's going to happen. So you're easygoing, you crack a couple of jokes here and there, make the mood nice and soft. And of course, you're traveling with some booklets or some pamphlets about Islam. And as soon as you open a nice conversation, say, anyways, we have to go, but this is a gift for you. Thank you very much. And you leave. Very easy. You don't know what's going to happen afterwards. But it's very... Now, if you were sitting in the middle of the airplane, and every time the lady was walking back and forth, you trying to talk to her, you're going to be in trouble. And say, what is this mutawwi', man? This guy's trying to pick up girls on the plane. So in the back, you're kind of hiding. No one's paying attention to you. So you talk and you do all the talking that you want without anyone thinking you're a lunatic. Because I've been in that predicament and I find that sitting in the back is the best. Plus, she can easily speak to you or he. But in the middle, she can't or he can't. Because they have to move and the people are watching them. In the back, they're chilling once the airplane takes off. So it is the best place to give da'wah. Trust me, it works, alhamdulillah. So don't be, don't be shy. And don't deprive yourself of the opportunity to give da'wah anywhere on earth, in the middle of the air, wherever you go. And if you're traveling, take with you some pamphlets, some information about Islam. Alhamdulillah, it's been made very easy. You get it from the reception here. 5 riyals. A booklet, for 3 books maybe, books and a CD or DVD maybe, whatever, all that they need, in Tagalog, in English, in different languages, 5 riyals, it comes in a nice package, stapled with the Da'wah Center information on it. If they become a Muslim, you don't even have to speak to them. They will go by the number and they will come to the Da'wah Center and they will take care of themselves. But you can invest for your Akhirah sometimes with 20 riyals. I know one brother always buys them. He always has in his car 5-6 of them. Every time we travel somewhere, he has him with him. And you don't even know. Boom, 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 and we keep moving. It's like you shoot and you run. But this is a good shot. Anyways, وَأَمَّا عَلَى الْوَجْهُ الثَّانِي. How did we get here? Yeah, so, عَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ مَاشَاءَ تَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ. Come tomorrow, Habibi. How about you come Saturday morning after Fajr? Excellent timing. So we said that travel then brings about hardship. There's no escape, even with the advancement. Let alone at the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, camels and using cattle and animals, and it's just way different and way more difficult. وَأَمَّا عَلَى الْوَجْهِ الثَّانِي. As for the second facet, وَهُوَ أَنَّ الْمُرَادْ بِالْقَصْرِ هُنَا قَصْرُ الْعَدَدْ وَالصِّفَةِ. What is intended here, meaning this ayah, is speaking about shortening the number of rak'at and the manner in which you pray. What the shaykh is saying, look, this ayah is not speaking about the regular qasr, which you do when you travel. This one is speaking about the one associated with being worried about the enemy when you are on the battlefield. And the sifa of Salat al-Khawf, that one group will pray after behind the Prophet ﷺ one rak'ah, then they will go, then the other group will join him and pray the second rak'ah with him. This is Salat al-Khawf. So the Shaykh saying the other understanding of the ayah is that this ayah is describing that kind of rukhsa, not the one which the regular person does while traveling. Excellent observation. فَإِنَّ الْقَيْدَ عَلَى بَابِهِ. So this then restriction is according to the context. فَإِذَا وُجِدَ السَّفَرُ وَالْخَوْفُ. Then if both exist, travel and fear, جَازَ قَصْرُ الْعَدَدُ وَقَصْرُ الصِّفَةِ. It is then permissible to shorten the number of rak'at and the actual manner of praying. وَإِذَا وُجِدَ السَّفَرُ وَحْدَهُ. However, if only travel exists, if you're only traveling, جَازَ قَصْرُ الْعَدَدُ فَقَدْ. Then it is permissible to shorten the number of salawat, the number of rak'at only. But you don't change the manner of salah. Awul khawf wahda, or if it's fear only, wahda jaza qasru sifa. If it is only fear and you're not traveling, then you may only shorten the manner in which you pray, not the actual number of rak'at. The Shaykh didn't explain. But these ayat will come inshallah eventually. Or actually the next ayah will be the one which explains that in detail. And we've been talking for 40 minutes here. I don't know, this next ayah is quite lengthy. Ayah 102, which actually describes Salatul Khawf. Yeah, but I think that's enough inshallah. So we are ayah 102, which we will address next week inshallah. Subhanakallah bihamdik, shadu la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka atubu ilayk.